bite my head off over this, but there's something off. I don't know what. It might be me. Good morning to you. Good Friday morning. I'm Dejan Kovacevic of DK Pittsburgh Sports, and this is Daily Shot of Pirates. Comes your way bright and early every weekday. If you're into football and or hockey, I also offer daily shots of Steelers and Penguins, where you found this. There are now 6 days until the 143rd opening day of the Pittsburgh Baseball Club. That, of course, will come in Miami. And the roster is closer to certainty. The various depth charts and roles are closer to certainty. For example, Derek Shelton telling reporters in Florida last night that Roansy Contreras is going to be part of the bullpen. He's seen now as a reliever. Makes sense. Been forecasting that one for a while. And you're just another step closer. Josh Palacios, who had been seen, I think, by a lot of people as the default right fielder even 6 to 8 weeks ago, was sent to Indianapolis. So little stuff like that happens. It's on the periphery of the roster, and it gets you there. And this is where I am. The closer it gets to being there, the more I feel uncertain about three different areas. One of them is right field. Because without Palacios there, and not that Palacios was going to be, you know, above and beyond anybody's expectations, he's in his late 20s. He is probably what he's been. But I don't look at Billy McKinney and Edward Olivares and say, all right, right field, baby. Yeah, let's go. I don't even do that with Jack Suwinski sliding over there and Michael A. Taylor taking over center field. Yeah, it's wonderful. Always a calming thing to have somebody in center who can make all the plays. That's just, whether you're a manager, somebody watching from the dugout, a reporter like me, or a fan in the seats, you're calm when you have someone out there. But right field doesn't make me calm right now. Right field is an important power position. A lot of things have changed in baseball and the way it's enumerated and studied and everything, but you still have to get corner-type production out of your corner positions, even if you have that coming from shortstop. You follow me on this? I don't see this as being an exceptionally powerful team, and I see baseball right now in 2024 as being something that involves a lot of power, and that's concerning to me. If the Pirates are satisfied with some combination of Suwinski, Olivares, and McKinney. McKinney, for example, is an on-base guy. Olivares is more of an average guy, meaning batting average. And Jack is exactly what he is. Jack gets a lot of home runs and strikes out a ton. I don't know how you Frankenstein that into a single player, though. I'm worried about the rotation. I'm a little bit on edge about that. Maybe I'd feel better if Domingo Germán had been further along, maybe he'd been in camp. Look, if you're going to sign the guy after all of his whatevers, you might as well have him in the fold and make sure that he's prepared and stretched out to start. I don't know that that's going to be the case. So what, Bailey Falter? That's what I'm talking about. Watching this guy pitch, even in spring games that you know don't mean anything, you just see him getting knocked around and you're thinking, what's he even still doing here this late in March? Has me a little bit, okay. Mitch Keller's going to start on Thursday. What do you do after that? Who are you feeling good about after that? Marco Gonzalez, who just got smacked around again and who's coming off a really serious injury, often a career-ending injury, with nerve damage near his arm. Who's next? Martin Perez? I don't know. That's what I'm talking about. Now, even the bullpen, which I thought, and I think we all thought, was going to be the strength of the team, and still might be, gets hit with all kinds of lousy news. I mean, it was obvious, and I said so on the show, that Dowry Moretta was going to have Tommy John. They don't throw out hints like the ones that they did. You know, his, you know, elbow discomfort and getting multiple opinions. You might as well just go to Dr. Keith Meister in Texas and roll up your sleeve. That's just how that's going to play out, with very, very few exceptions. And I'm hoping, by the way, that Gerrit Cole with the Yankees becomes one. Good dude, doesn't deserve to be shut down for a year and a half. Not that anybody does. I look at the rest of this and I see Colin Holderman's been out for a week with an illness. Carmen Wojcicki, this one's a little bit of a concern. Speaking of elbows, has been not shut down, but he's doing some light throwing and so forth on the side because of what they refer to as something in his forearm. Now, I'm here to tell you that forearm is another one of those words that baseball people use because they don't want to use the word elbow. The ligaments are all in the same region. They're all connected. And whether it's exactly in whatever we think of as the elbow or it's a little bit further up, it's an elbow issue. So I wouldn't be surprised, and I'm not being Todd Tomczyk here on you, but if you see him get shut down, I don't see Wojcicki with how hard he throws, the torque with which he throws and everything else, just all of a sudden being fine by Thursday in Miami. So maybe this is kind of like that feeling that you have, you know, when you're house hunting, if you've ever done that. And you go, yes, that's the one, that's the one. And then you wake up the next morning and go, oh, no, it's not the one. It's the end of the world. That's kind of where I am right now. When we come back, J1Q. This portion of Daily Shot of Pirates is brought to you by our friends at North Shore Tavern. That's directly across Federal Street from PNC Park. It's home of Steak on a Stone. An eating experience, underscoring the word experience. The steak is brought to you partially cooked on an 800 degree stone, and you do the rest. It's a ton of fun, it's a great meal, and it's a baseball atmosphere like no other in Pittsburgh. North Shore Tavern, right across Federal Street from PNC Park. Today's J1Q comes from Tom, who says, hey, DK, I recall when Henry Davis was drafted first overall, one of the things that people liked about him, over and above even his talent, was that he had that personality, that makeup to be that guy, the leader in the clubhouse and on the field. If that's the case, why send him down ever? From everything I've seen and heard about him, he's got the fire. I don't care what any scout says. We've seen this guy get better, and we've seen him get better quickly. He isn't done. All he has to do is be okay at catching to make a huge difference in the win column. Tom, I agree with you, but that's not what you're asking me. You asked me, if that's the case, why send him down ever? Now, I can give you my opinion or I can give you their viewpoint, their stance on this, and I'm going to do that first. Ben Cherington values defense and the commanding of a pitching staff in the catcher position so many times more than he values anything else out of it. He just happens to be that guy who sees the catcher as not even really an offensive position. He sees it as somewhere where you have to basically hide the bat because that individual is so valuable to everyone else and to everything else that occurs when your team is in the field. I don't share that. I don't even come close to feeling that way. I feel, and let me see how you put this because I kind of liked it. He said, yeah, all he has to do is be okay at catching to make a huge difference in the win column. I'm with you on that. I'm with you on that. Now, I'm not prepared to write up a college thesis on it, and you might not be either. But I'll take a catcher who can hit. I'll take a catcher who has impact in both facets. And I'll take that catcher on Thursday in Miami. There's no reason whatsoever to keep Henry down. None. If you believe that the Pirates kind of pseudo quasi manufactured one entering spring training, meaning that they would have been so overly concerned about Henry's defense that they can't possibly start the season. And here's Yasmani Grandal, and here's Ali Sanchez, and here's Jason DeLay, and here's like seven other guys. just to make sure that there's insurance in this god-awful event that we have to put Henry behind the plate for even an inning with a 10-run lead, the way they acted all last season. I didn't see that. Now, I don't have a baseball scout's eye. I don't have an ear on the wall of where a pitcher might be complaining to them in the background and says, you know, he can't frame anything I do. I'm not going to be able to throw my cutter or my curve to this guy. I certainly can't throw it with a man on third. What am I going to do? What am I going to do? Can you just put Grandal back there? And Grandal's not very good defensively either. That's me, not the guy's voice. I just want to see Henry play. I'm totally with you on this. I want to see somebody take charge of this team. I want to see a leader type. He's not the only one. He's not. I believe in Paul Skeens in this capacity. I believe in, and don't shrug this off because he's young, but Leover Peguero has a really outgoing personality that I think is good for this team. You want to see, you want to feel some of that cockiness. Andy Rodriguez, I know he's out for the year and everything, but Andy has a lot of that in him too. You're not going to get from 2012, I'm speaking figuratively, to 2013, the way the Pirates did in those 2 years, you're not going to cross from one to the next until you have those intangibles to go along with the tangibles. I loved this question so much, Tom. I appreciate it. I appreciate everybody listening to Daily Shot of Pirates. Our long wait ends in 6 days, but we'll be back with another one of these shows on Monday.